This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making no-cook soup.
Plus, we'll have music from Resonance, an artistic look at a famous parable, and more.
Be sure to join us. Good morning and happy Wednesday and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us here today. It's the middle of the week and we are so glad you have chosen to join us.
We sure are, friends. We are so thankful to have made it to Wednesday together. Every day is a good day to wake up with hope. And we're glad you chose to wake up with us this morning.
And speaking of hope, you know, Psalm chapter 31, verse 24 says, "Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord." And so when we hope in God, he promises to strengthen our hearts and grant us peace and confidence and security, no matter what we go through or what our circumstances may be.
That's right. And that is why we love sharing Jesus' hope with you every weekday morning. And we hope to do so again today.
So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1932, amid the Great Depression's depths, a grand Art Deco theater, Radio City Music Hall, opened its doors in New York City, drawing thousands of attendees. This architectural marvel was conceived as a haven for the public, offering a place of elegance where everyday individuals could experience top-notch entertainment. Since its launch in 1932, over 300 million people have flocked to Radio City to relish movies, stage performances, concerts, and special events.
You know, undoubtedly, its opening during the Great Depression, you know, a time of uncertainty for many, it played a key role in the success of the theater. So how about you, friend? How do you handle times of uncertainty? You know, God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, to rejoice forevermore, to be joyful in all things. And how is that possible? Well, it's only possible as we trust God in all things. And he tells us to rejoice evermore. It's a promise that no matter what we go through, there's always a blessing, always something to be thankful for as we trust him as he works on our behalf. You know, that's an incredible thought.
It truly is an incredible thought. Well, have you ever heard of no-cooked soup? The Healthy Foodie is here to introduce this delicious concept to us. Let's watch.
Thank you.
Well, that no-cook soup sure looks delicious. Let us know if you try it, friends.
Right now, Neil Schofield joins us as he takes us on an artistic journey of the famous parable about the mote and the beam. Neil?
Domenico Fetti was an Italian painter. He specialized in the parables of Jesus. In fact, he painted 14 of them. The mote and the beam was painted in the year 1619. It's based on a story that has a pretty punchy point for you and I today. This is what Jesus said: "Judge not, that you be not judged. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I find this work stark and compelling. The setting is outdoors. The colours are brown, even blending right into the sky. I think Fetti is creating a mood for the sombre importance of the message. It only has two characters, an old man and a young man. Both are pointing their fingers at each other, and the young man looks to be in the ascendancy. The massive beam in the heart of the painting just draws us in. And true to Fetti's style, he's made this painting very literal and dramatic. Fetti takes the story of Jesus and makes it so clear, it perfectly illustrates the very blunt point Jesus is making. A splinter or sawdust in your eye would be a lot easier to get out than a giant timber roof beam. So what's the key point Jesus is saying? There's nothing worse than a cold, critical, condemning attitude. Nothing. It's very easy to find fault in someone else. But the sins of pride and self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, they're massive big planks. They stop us seeing clearly. We can't see others clearly. We can't see God clearly. And we certainly can't see ourselves clearly. The message I take from this painting is to be humble, gracious, and do everything to build people up instead of tearing people down.
Well, we have to take a short break, but when we return, we will have a beautiful blessing in song. Then John Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share us with a friend or check us out at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. Plus, subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and thank you for hanging out with us this morning.
This morning, we have a lovely song from Resonance to share with you. It's called "Let's Take This Road." We hope you'll enjoy it.
After page, we read of their lives. we serve together. Let's take this road together. And we
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We'll be right back with today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. How are you doing this morning? Are you enjoying our program? We would love to know. Send us a message on our official Hope Channel Facebook page.
It's now time for John Bradshaw from It Is Written to join us as he shares today's devotional thought.
Hey there, great to see you. I sincerely hope that your day has got off to a great start and that already today you have taken note of a blessing of God in your life. Now, if you haven't, could you do that right now? Could you stop and say, yeah, God has blessed me already today. How? Well, you woke up, you heard the kids or your spouse or a friend, you got a phone call from work, that means you got a job, that's a blessing. The car broke down, that means you've got a car, that's a blessing. You're going to get it repaired, thank God for that. Maybe someone in the family contacted you, maybe you had a chance to intervene in somebody's life. Already you've been blessed. And if you've been blessed already that much, then think how greatly you're going to be blessed by the time this day is over. Well, fascinating thing. There's this incredible sequence in the Bible in John chapter 6. Now, in John chapter 6, Jesus has fed a whole host of people quite miraculously. And the people looked at this and they said, now, wait a minute. We're awaiting a Messiah. We hate the Romans. We want someone to boot the Romans out, make us wealthy and powerful. This guy can do it. Look what he can do. He can feed our armies. He can sustain us. He can work miracles. What we just saw him do was incredible. They decided to take Jesus and make him king. They would take him by force and make him king. And by the way, who wouldn't want that? What if somebody said you were going to make you the king or the queen or whatever the case might be? That would give you unparalleled, unrestrained power. Who wouldn't want that? And I'm speaking from a secular point of view. Jesus didn't want that. He didn't want to be a ruler, force people, push people around. He wanted to be an influencer. By his example, by his intervention, by his love, show what the heart of God was like and reveal the love of God to people. Have people respond and say, that's what I want in my life. I want to be like that man. I want to follow him. I want to be a servant of the God of heaven. I want to spend eternity with him. So Jesus said, no, thank you, but no, thank you. I will not be your king. You cannot take me and make me by force your king. They gathered around Jesus later, and Jesus said to them, there's something to tell you. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, he who believes in me shall never hunger or thirst. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, Jesus said. Now, in case you're wondering what they were thinking, and that'd be fairly natural, they wondered and they marveled at this. And they, I'm imagining here, they looked at each other and they said, what do you think he means? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. What do you think he means? And Jesus unraveled the little mystery for them when he said to you, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So now they knew that what he had for them was his message, his teaching. They knew that he was never going to be the king. They knew he would not take the throne and rule as a mighty ruler. And they said, why in the world bother with this guy? And one of the most memorable verses in the Bible, easy to remember, John 6:66. From that time, they turned back from Jesus and they followed him no more. Okay, they were disappointed and they turned away from Jesus. Where'd they go? Do you ever wonder that? Where'd they go? Well, I mean, fairly obvious to a certain degree. They went home, they went back to their farms, they went back to their work, doing whatever it was they did. But think about this. In their midst was Jesus. He was the divine Son of God, and now they were convinced that he was nothing ordinary. He fed thousands of people. By this time, he had healed people. They knew. They knew. Word got around. When somebody walks on water, word gets around. Social media or not. Jesus and the knowledge of Jesus circulated around Israel and beyond, even though no one was there to put a picture of Jesus walking on water on Instagram. No one was there to write on Facebook about how Jesus healed somebody. But word got around. He was the talk of the town, no question. And here they were face to face with Jesus. This was Jesus. He's the life giver. He's the bread of life. He can bring eternity. Surely he's the Messiah. He has everlasting life. And they said, not for us. And they turned away and walked with him no more. Where'd they go? They went home. They went to their Christless homes. They went to work to their Christless jobs. They had told Jesus to get out of their lives and out of their heart, out of their affections. If he could not give them what they wanted, then he was useless to them. It revealed, this whole exchange revealed what was really in their heart. They weren't interested in conversion. They weren't interested in a new heart experience. They weren't interested in honoring the God of heaven. They were interested in the God of heaven honoring them. Wouldn't be honoring. Providing them with, giving them everything that they thought they needed to have a happy, prosperous life. They were in it for them. They weren't in it to honor God. They had no thought of what God had done in creation. They were not thinking, we owe God so much. He led our forefathers through the wilderness. There he was in the pillar of cloud, in the pillar of fire. There he was, carpeting the ground with manna. He brought water out of a rock. They weren't thinking about that. They thought, what have you done for me lately? And because Jesus said, I'm not here to prosper you materially or militarily, they said, we're done. And they walked with him no more. Where'd they go? Let's say one of them went home and his crops were productive, remarkably so, and his flocks were productive, and he earned more money and bought more land and planted more grain and ran more animals and rinsed and repeated, and he became a millionaire or a billionaire, he didn't have Jesus. So what was the good of his millions and billions? What was the good of his prosperity if he didn't have Jesus? You see, in John 6, they turned from Jesus and they walked with him no more. Where'd they go? What did they have? Whatever they had, they didn't have Jesus. Our problem is evil. Our problem is that our hearts are evil. We are sinners. We have no right to eternal life. All we've got to look forward to is life in this world. That's it. Except for Jesus. We have access to forgiveness, to grace, to the removal of guilt. We have access to joy. We have access to meaning. We have access to eternity through Jesus. So you can walk with Jesus or turn away from Jesus and walk with him no more. But if you walk with him no more, what have you got? Where do you go? Where do you go? Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" And they said, "No, Lord, where would we go?" You have the words of eternal life. Where would we go? Listen to me for a minute, would you? If you're discouraged today and you're thinking of giving up on God, where are you going to go? If you get angry, you think you're going to turn your back on God, where are you going to go? If you're done with church and those hypocrites at church and I'm not going to fool with them anymore, where are you going to go? I would encourage you to hang on to Jesus. Without Jesus, no life. With Jesus, eternal life fully and freely for you. And you can have it by faith right now. Great to see you. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John. That was truly a blessing.
And thank you so much for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow, friends. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought, and Taj Pakla will share another powerful object lesson through a Reflections of Hope episode. And there'll be so much more you don't want to miss.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Now, our program is over for today, but as usual, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in James chapter 5, verse 16.
It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
You know, confess and pray, friends. Pray for one another. You know, God promises to hear and to heal and to bless.
Amen. Well, we have sure enjoyed our time with you this morning, friends, and we pray that your heart has been touched and filled with hope.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, not only do we worship you and praise you through song and learn of you and learn about ourselves through all the content. Today, Lord, we launch into this day together with you, filled with hope. Thank you so much, Lord, for the hope we have. And I pray that you would guard our hearts and keep us filled with hope throughout the entire day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.